Week? What was the week before? Oh, we had Joshua last week. Yeah. Joshua, then a week before we had snow. Okay, Colossians 4. Okay, going verse by verse is the best way to go through the Bible. And so it's more detailed and you see what the Lord has for us. And let's ask the author to help us with it. Lord, I do ask you to enlighten our eyes to what your words say and what we are to believe. Help us to approach the Bible with an honest and sincere heart that we might believe what you want us to believe. And when we believe these words, then the Word of God can work effectually through us. And Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand the words, to help us know how to apply them to ourselves and to these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the letter to the church of Colossae is one of the seven churches that Paul wrote to. And then John wrote to seven churches, and both of them wrote to Ephesus, and one of them wrote to Laodicea, John, and one of them wrote to Colossians, Paul. And the word Laodicea is found seven times in the Bible, twice in Revelation, and five times in Colossians. So this is, with that knowledge, this makes this present truth for our age. This is part of the Bible that's written to us and for us. Okay, all of the Bible is written for us, but some of it's not written to us. So we're in safe ground, definitely, on Colossians chapter 4. Verse 1 is an area that is a part of holiness in the Old Testament and New Testament, but strangely, the people today, Christians today, don't consider that a part of holiness. They tend to think that Sunday is the day to be holy, and they forget that Monday on the job is just important with God. And that's what this one's about. It's about Monday on the job, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, okay, and or Saturday, depends on your work schedule. Okay, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. You can see the implications. In our culture, that'd be employer, employee, or owner of a company. And a company is not... somebody owns a company, so you're still dealing with an individual. The left-wing liberals often talk about the evil corporations, and their solution to fix the evil corporations is to make the biggest corporation in our country control all the other corporations, and that would be the United States. Okay, that's not a nation, that is a corporation. What political figureheads is set up counterfeit, side by side. It's a corporation under England, if I understand correctly. So, the idea, you can see it's quite clear here that whoever is having someone work for them, the Lord's, Paul's advice is give to them what is equal and just, because if you're saved, you got a God in heaven, and he's going to give to you according to what you did. Okay, that's obviously the basic idea. Okay, equal and just. The reason why labor unions came into being is because of the unjustness and greed of the ones at the top. And then labor unions obviously get greedy and unjust. Okay, and so either way you go, just do what's right. Okay, the word equal, people real quickly go to the government for that solution and they will mess it up worse. The biggest promoters of the tension between the races today in our country will be the government policy and the news mafia. They are the two biggest promoters of it, and they will continue to do that because it continues to sell paper. Okay, and plus it puts the government more in charge. In Proverbs chapter 17, 26, it says, to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. Strike, go on strike, princes, government, to strike the government, to go to the government for equality. That's not good because the government cannot give you equal rights unless it steals it from somebody else. Okay, the bleeding heart feel bad because the girls can't play on the boys' baseball team or football team, so they grant her rights to play in the boys' game by taking the rights from the boys. Can the boy now play on the girls' team? So it's obviously an injustice both on that idea. Okay, and so in verse 1, the idea is basically, okay, somebody is working under you, working for you. Treat them right. You can tell a lot about a company if they have a high turnover rate. Either the people lack character or the one running the company lacks character, because he's not taking care of and treating the ones helping him, and they're not paying them properly, and they're not treating them right. So people, they get tired of that. They get tired of being a slave. And so, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. This is a matter of holiness in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where he says that we are to live a holy life, and one of the qualifications is do not defraud your brother. That's dealing with fraud. That's dealing with our business. In the Old Testament, the standards of holiness is found in Leviticus 19, and toward the end of Leviticus 19, it gets into our business adventures, where you have equal and just weights, because money, proper money, is to be weighed. That's money with value. Okay, so that's verse 1. Verse 2 down to 6 is going to be giving a good foundation of witnessing for Jesus Christ. In verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Okay, Jesus reversed it with the apostles where he said, watch and pray. Paul said, continue in prayer and watch. Okay, the idea of watching is to discern your spirits. Okay, discern your spirits. Am I in a good mood? Am I in a bad mood? Okay, why am I in a good mood and a bad mood? Okay, that's discerning your spirits. What is causing me to feel encouraged now? What is causing me to feel discouraged? And it's amazing how quickly you can go from one to another, either by the news from people. Okay, and so we got to watch our spirits. If you get a spirit of lethargy over you or depression, okay, we live in a culture, everybody's talking about stress. And if you want to deal with stress, go to China. I mean, if you really want to see stress, my sister Joanne went to China to see my other sister Janet, and when Joanne got home, she kissed her front steps. She was so glad to be back. Okay, and but stress, that's a big problem in any age. But why do we feel stressful? Why? We need to check our spirits, okay? If we get a spirit of lethargy over it, check yourself, okay? Have I been getting enough sleep? Okay, am I eating right? Have I been exercising? Exercising does a lot for the body. A lot of times people, you're thinking exercising, getting up, going to the fridge, and then back to the table, you know, back and forth between the fridge. But the sweat coming through your body is necessary, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally. It really does. Americans think, you know, they're, you know, helping themselves, sitting in the air conditioner, of course, talking about that now, but sitting in the air conditioner, but you got to sweat to get it out. The Bible says you got to sweat. And so it's a good thing to exercise and sit in a hot, dry sauna and let her sweat it out. Okay, and here, but watch and pray. So check your spirits. In Malachi 2, verse 14, 15 and 16, twice there's a phrase found there. It says, take heed to your spirit. Your spirit, that's your attitude. That's your feelings. Okay, if you check your spirits and your attitude and your feelings, then your actions will fall in line. But when we check our spirits, then we can divert away depression. Now, man, one thing you don't do is take antidepressants. Why? Read the side effects, and the side effects of those products are suicide. I mean, it says right in there. So we need to check our spirit. That's what watching does. Watching, where you observe the spirit of an age. One of the marks of the David's mighty men was that they understood the signs of the times. Do we understand the age that we're living in? Do we see what is going on throughout our age, throughout the world? And I recognize that if you understand it, Solomon said, with much knowledge is much grief. It gets depressing if you watch the news. So turn the thing off. I can tell you what's going to be on it. Somebody got murdered here. There was a fire breakout here. They're going to promote Obama here. I mean, that's all they're going to do continually. And the weatherman can only give you a good forecast for maybe about 24 hours. That's about the best he's going to do. Okay, and so continue in prayer and watch the same with Thanksgiving. Okay, prayer, just daily talking with the Lord. Romans chapter 12, he says, continuing instant in prayer. And in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Those are great verses to memorize because they're short. Okay, and so continuing in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a heart of gratitude. Bob Jones Sr. used to say that when a man has lost his gratitude, he is well nigh hopeless. Okay, thanksgiving. He says in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. So a heart of gratitude, it will do a lot in the matter of watching. When we recognize that we in our country have been very soft, okay, and people say, blessed of God, I would say when we hit the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to say, not as blessed of God as we thought. Because when we hit the judgment seat of Christ and we see the believers in North Korea bringing in great rewards or awards from the Lord for really suffering for Christ, and we're going to say, boy, I think I'm going to move down the line away from them. Or the Apostle Paul, something like that. You know, preachers nowadays think they're suffering if the air conditioner goes out. Okay, and so watch and pray. Okay, now verse 3 through 6 is our witnessing. Okay, when we witness for the Lord, okay, where you might want to get some verses memorized, maybe a plan, but yet we got to be flexible with as far as, because people will throw up different ideas. But when you get dealing with people, you'll discover that you basically will hear the same arguments. Once you run the gamut, you will hear pretty much the same arguments from different people. And the reason why that is because those are spirits leading those people. Verse 3, with all praying, also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Soon as a charismatic would see that, he'll quickly jump on hashtag and tie, tie, bow tie. Thinking that utterance is dealing with speaking in tongues. And the charismatic movement is kind of an entertaining thing. But can you imagine if I walked up to you as an individual and say that I have charisma? You're kind of stuck on yourself, aren't you? We have a whole Christian movement in our country called charismatics. They're stating that they're more gifted than you are because they're special. And if you doubt that, ask them. And they'll be proud of their humility. And if you start talking to them about the tongues issue, you'll have to explain to them what chapter tongues is found. And you'll discover that there's not one charismatic church in America that obeys that one chapter about the commandments of God or the guidelines of God for the gift of speaking in tongues. Not one of them obey it. And that's 1 Corinthians 14. And after you're done talking to these people, because they are based on emotion, it is usually an effeminate movement, and it's an emotional movement, you will be, if you kind of step back and kind of observe the all the clowns are in a circus, there will be some great emotions expressed. Okay, and so you just kind of smile and recognize what you're dealing with is a babe in Christ, hopefully if they are saved, okay, and just, you know, try to help them out with those things. But in this context, a door of utterance is asking the Lord beforehand to open up an opportunity to speak the Word of God clearly. That's what we're praying for. With all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door. Okay, now a cross-reference for that door of utterance is in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. And remember that the Spirit of God is the interpreter of the Bible. And He shows us how He interprets the Bible by running Scripture with Scripture. So you find something else in the Bible that will mention a door. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, or 16, I'm sorry, I'm thinking 16, verse 9, I'm sorry, verse 9. It says this, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." So an open door of opportunity. Go a couple pages later, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord." Okay, so now we have three verses that shows that what will make our witness more effective, okay, is if there's someone, especially in family, that the Lord is leading you and pressing you to witness to, okay, prepare the ground beforehand. And so what do? You pray. Now when you're praying, what it's like is before a military sends in ground troops, they usually send in the Air Force to bomb it, to soften everything up, and then the ground troops can come in. And so praying is sending in the aerial assault, preparing the ground, and then when you come in, and if you've been praying that God will open up a door of opportunity, and then you talk to this individual, and you just talk to him, and the Lord, and you'll see this door open up. It'll be so wide that anybody can walk through it. Okay, and the same with somebody in the job. Okay, now maybe if a type of job, you don't want to be witnessing on the job per se when you're taken away from your work, because that would be dishonest to the boss. Okay, but you can throw in a comment here or there. Neil is telling me about where he works. There's loud machines, and so this one guy was yelling at him across, "What do you think of the blood moons going on?" And there's the big thing going on about the blood moons and four blood moons and all this stuff, and this guy's into the spectacular stuff. And so Neil answered his question, and then he said they waited a little while later, and this guy's pushing a broom beside this, and he's going right between them, and right then the machine shut off, and the guy yelled, "What do you think of these blood moons?" And Neil said, "Well, I don't know, it might be the Antichrist." And he said the guy pushing a broom went like this. I mean, he got out of there. So that just kind of scared him. And so that was a witness. And so what you do is you ask the Lord. Now, you might be surprised, but people often talk Bible without realizing it. Okay, because the Bible is what's controlling what's going on. It dictates what goes on. And a lot of times if you hear common sayings, many of these common sayings come from the Bible. And so if you can recognize some of the common sayings, I have about 1,000 of them in the margins of the reference Bible, these common sayings. And a little birdie told me, "Well, that's Bible, burning the midnight oil, that's Bible, in sports contests, kick them in the hind end, that's Bible." And so when you recognize these things, you might want to say to these people, "Hey, did you know you quoted the Bible?" And this Pentecostal kid, I saw him in jail, and I always thought it was kind of odd when I'm visiting guys in jail, the guys behind the bars would argue with me that they could lose their salvation. I would think they'd want to keep it. But this Pentecostal kid had one here, "Born to be Wild," on his tattooed right there. And so I just told him he had a Bible verse on him, his arm, and he didn't know that. And I showed him Job 11, verse 12, where it says, "A man is born like unto a wild ass's colt." And I said, "Ain't that what you're like?" He just kind of smiled. I said, yeah, you are, aren't you? You're stubborn. Yeah, he said, I guess you're right. Guess you're right. And so those kind of ways that we could witness for the Lord. I've seen sports contests where the announcer would be quoting Bible. Boy, that quarterback had a baptism of fire. Where do you get that from? Somebody has, influenced these people, and they don't recognize it. A lot of times, not only that, but archaic words. The King James Bible is often mocked because of the old words, out-of-date words. Oh, we don't understand these and thous. When somebody says that, look at them. The four letters? Did you graduate from school? These and thou. Well, we should change that. And you're going to sing how great you are? Wouldn't that mess that song up? But words like post. He sent letters by post. That's King James only. You go to the post office. You go to the bank teller. He told Abraham to tell the stars. That's counting the stars. But you go to the bank teller who counts currency out. A search engine. Engine's only found in the King James Bible. Okay? Stuff. We don't use that word anymore. Nobody ever says that word. Stuff. Get my stuff. That's King James only. And I've got a bunch of those all through the Bible. Okay? Intelligence, as in Central Intelligence Agency. The word intelligence is found one time in the Bible, and it is connected to the Antichrist. Because Central Intelligence Agency isn't designed for your secrecy, but for the ones in charge of the United States Corporation secrecy. And that's why Eric Snowden is over there in Russia still hiding from them. Because he blew the whistle on these guys. Okay, and so those are ways that we could witness for the Lord. I saw a farmer in the hardware store down in Rensselaer several years ago, and he wasn't a believer. And he was kind of proud of not being a believer, and so we were just sitting there chatting, and he said, hey, Dave, how you doing? How's the world treating you? And I said, just horrible. And he laughed. I said, but the Lord sure is treating me good. And he, that dug. That got him. You didn't forget about that one. Okay, so we pray for these things. When you want to witness to somebody and ask the Lord to guide you and direct you, okay, you have an opportunity to either learn something or to teach something, so we don't need to be, upset about these things. But he says this, God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So he's in the Gray Bar Motel because of his witness for Christ. He says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So we ought to speak this way. So what do we need to do? Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. So pray that God would give you wisdom and the right words to the right person with the right spirit at the right time. Redeeming the time. Redeeming, buying back time. Now, we do live in an age where you can buy back time very easily. Meaning, this morning at 9 o'clock, I was preaching in two different places at the same time. On the radio and in church. So, you could make a tape. Or you could write something down. You leave something behind. Write something, write a poem in your will. If you have a will, put your testimony. It'd be one of the few times an attorney will get the testimony. Okay, and so put your testimony in there. That's a way to redeem. You're buying back time. As a parent, you're giving yourself to your children. You are living, in essence, through your children, so that's buying back time. Building rewards for heaven, you're buying back time. C.I. Schofield published a reference Bible. Here he's been in heaven for years and years, and he's still buying back time, even though he's in heaven. Clarence Larkin had a great book, Dispensational Truth. He's been in heaven for years. Buying back time is what he's doing. And so you could get on the internet if you want to use Facebook in the right way. The Pearls have a wonderful way that you could witness to somebody overseas. Never even meet these people, and you could be witnessing through the internet. I've got a guy in Bulgaria that has been writing to me that is fired up for the Lord. There's one, I just got one from India last week, a fellow from India, bought a reference Bible, so that thing's on the way over. And he was a former Catholic, and now he's witnessing for the Lord. And so I'm able to help him out through advice of how to deal with people. Our missionary, our friend in the Philippines that I've met through the internet, he now is getting booted out of his church, so pray for him that he could find a place to go. Some Catholic woman's involved, and she wanted a property, so she's finagling it. And so they got to leave that situation. So it's a wonderful thing what you can do. Use the computer in the right way. Okay, writing letters. This one way you can learn. If you find some heretic or an apostate, write them an email. You know, and get writing back and forth. And if you get stumped, you know, we'll help you out on it. That's a way you really learn. Okay, and so that's how you can redeem the time. Now our speech, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Most of our words that we use to others should be gracious words. But then in comma, seasoned with salt. There are times that our speech needs to be salty. Okay, salty referring to the truths of the Word of God. Referring to the idea that you could offend somebody with the gospel. And if they get offended with the gospel, they get offended. Get over it. Okay, Americans are too hypersensitive, which is a sign of the second coming of Christ, because when the apostles asked Jesus about the signs of thy coming, he said one of the characteristics is it says many shall be offended. Many's going to be offended. That's why this hypersensitivity going on in our culture, because people are madly in love with themselves. Okay, and so he says, let your speech be always with grace. Most of our speech or our witnessing with people will be as gentle as a lamb. But then there are some folks that need to learn the hard way through being as ferocious as a lion. Not that you get angry. It's just that you use stronger scriptures. Why? Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Okay, most of our personal witness is found in 2 Timothy 2. Verse 24, where it says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So that's most of our witness, but as far as preaching publicly, yes, there's going to be some times where it gets hard. You reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. And so we got to accept those things. So let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Okay, now the perfect example is in Luke 4, when Jesus was speaking in the Jewish synagogue, where it says that the people marveled at his gracious words. But he gave two illustrations that made him so angry that within just minutes they wanted to throw him over a cliff. That's where the salt came in. Let your speech be always with grace and then seasoned with salt. Okay, salt would be the standards or the convictions of the Bible. Okay, and I recognize that most preachers, most churches, even the ones that do believe this book, only approach this book from a devotional, spiritual, or practical application. That's how most of them approach the Bible. That's how, when I went through Howells Anderson, that is the only way they approach the Bible. Doctrine is a whole foreign subject to these people. But doctrine is what gives the stability of the Bible. Doctrine would be the 2x4 studs in your walls every 16 inches, what provides the strength for the building. Instruction, practicality, that's the pretty drywall and the paint and everything else. Now, you could live in a house without drywall. It wouldn't look the greatest, but you could live in it. But you can't live in a house without studs. Well, you can have logs. Okay, but you can't live in a house with some strength in there. Okay, drywall won't cut it by itself. And so this is why when you see Christians, all they've learned is instruction. The Bible is a motivational tool. Okay, then when they are shaken by their church, something happened, they may go over here, go over here, go over there, and they have no stability. No stability at all. Doctrine is what gives us stability and strength. Understanding Bible doctrine may change between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It changes between the New Testament and the Tribulation and the millennial time period. There are different dispensations as far as covenants go, and we need to recognize that. That's where the doctrine steps in. So our speech should be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now the rest of the letter, he gets dealing with the names of people who have helped him. He expresses gratitude, and he gives credit and honor to whom honor is due. Okay, verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Now, to know your estate in this context is obviously not going there to try to get them to give him the money of their will. It's knowing your well-being, to be a blessing to you. Why? Because Paul is in a prison atmosphere. Okay, or prison per se, but yet he had some sort of liberty in a little way where people can come in pretty freely with him and then go out, and then he would send them out friends in the Lord. Verse 9, with Onesimus, okay, faithful and beloved brother, you read about his story in the one very short letter written to Philemon. Paul wrote to three individuals as far as in the Bible that God put in the Bible, Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Okay, Onesimus was involved with Philemon. Okay, and he was a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. So he's from that general region. And then it says, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Okay, what is that? Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. So he's got a cellie. So he's got somebody in the prison with him. Maybe he won him to Christ. Don't know. Maybe he got there because of the gospel like Paul. Well, he says he saluteth you. Why? Because the church is like the military. Okay, where we are saluting each other. Okay, and then, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Now remember, Marcus was the young fellow that Paul got mad at. And Marcus is the one that went back home on the first missionary trip, and when they went on the second trip, Barnabas, his uncle, said, hey, I'm going to take Mark, go get Mark. And Paul basically said, I don't want that guy. He's a mama's boy. Get him out of here. We don't need him. And they got so upset between two spirit-filled men, got mad at each other, got in a fight, and then God sent two missionary trips out. Yeah, that happens. Yes, that happens. And so Marcus now, though, with time, Paul recognized, okay, he made a mistake, so I need to have some grace. Forgive him for that. And then in Timothy, I think he writes that Marcus was faithful to the ministry, profitable to the ministry. And so, yes, people are going to make mistakes, and yes, we don't understand why sometimes people do some things, but yet we need to give some folks time, okay, and then accept them. There's a common saying that Jen and I was talking about this. The first impression is the lasting impression. That's a general statement. It shouldn't be that way, but that often is the way. There's a man in the Old Testament by the name of Abimelech. If he limited himself to the first impression, what was his first impression of Abraham? Abraham lied to him about his wife and almost killed Abimelech. Pretty bad first impression. But then later on, God told Abraham, hey, you need to reprove Abimelech for something. I don't appreciate what he's doing. And when he did that, Abimelech could have easily said, who are you to talk? But it shows the character of Abimelech. He could recognize truth from any source. And he didn't allow the first impression to be the lasting impression. And so we need to, you know, cut people a break in some things. Okay, in verse 11, and Jesus, or Jesus, however you want to pronounce that, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision. So here's a Jew, Jewish individual. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. It's a blessing to have good friends. Paul's in the jail, in the pokey, and it's a blessing to have somebody be a good friend to him. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. How many of us of our believers fall by the wayside because we're not praying for them? How many of our missionaries are struggling and struggling and struggling because we're not lifting up in prayer? Okay, and so it's obviously true. Okay, and so I'm just as guilty as everybody else on those things. And so we get a prayer list, we pray for these folks. Okay, verse 13, for I bear him record that he have a great zeal for you and them that are at Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Okay, Luke, the beloved physician. Dr. Luke, I doubt he was a medical doctor of type. Maybe in that culture, what we call alternative medicine is what they call the real thing. Okay, but Luke was the individual that was accompanying Paul and his missionary tours, and he's the writer of the Gospel according to Luke and the book of Acts. So he was right there with them. And Demas, greet you. I don't know if this is the same man, but over in a little later letter, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present world. If it's the same man, okay, that's how it goes. You have some that fall by the wayside. That's just part of life. It's part of the Christian life. So, Demas greet you. Now, Demas is in heaven. He reads that. He says, man, I'm glad I was there, but man, I sure botched it here. But praise the Lord, I'm here. Okay, sure beats the alternative. Okay, then verse 15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. And what is that? Nymphas or whatever. And the church which is in his house. This man has a house church. No buildings per se. Now in America you're starting to see this more and more. People having house churches. And from my experience, most of the time, these people are people that don't want to submit to a local church. Most of the time. But there are some times where they can't find a local church within 2 to 3 hours. And so, yeah, do the best you can. And people say, well, I'm not called to preach. Well, find somebody on the internet and get people together in your house and watch Hope Baptist Church Streamline. That's for Brent Jengo. Or find something on the internet, find a Bible believer on the internet and play that in front of people. There's no shame in that. No shame at all. Why? Because you're trying to influence people. I mean, if you can't find a church within 3 hours, start one in your house. Nothing wrong with that at all. It'd be a wonderful thing to do. So that's where he had one, in his house. Verse 16, when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. Doctrinally speaking, that would be our age. So our age desperately needs this letter. And that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now, I don't know what that is. I don't know what the epistle of Laodicea is. Paul evidently wrote a letter to them,
or a letter was written to them, but God chose not to put that letter in the Bible unless you want to take that little brief memo in Revelation 3, 14 to 22. You see, the scripture, the words that are not found in the Bible, I'm not going to go start a, you know, think, where is this epistle of the Laodiceans? I need to find this. There's some hidden truth. We can't figure out 66 books. Who cares about the book of Enoch? I mean, always trying to find the mysterious books, and they can't even figure out these. And so there's that one. And then he says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Okay, we each have some type of ministry. Fulfill your ministry. And then he says, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Remember me, I'm in the pokey. It gets boring in here. He said, pray for me if you would. And I'll be praying for you. And then Paul closes letters like almost always. He did always. Grace be with you. Amen. Just how the Bible closes. This is a daily dispensing of grace. The ability to put up with anyone or anything with peace in your heart. That would be the practical definition. Then in the fine print, written from Rome. Written from Rome. He's in the Rome jail. Okay, and so, and then there's the two that are probably writing it down for him. Okay, so that's Colossians, and let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for this record that Paul was able to write while he's in jail and had friends there to help him out. Thank you for the friends. And Lord, we have a wonderful opportunity to read these things and to understand them. And I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.